Good morning and welcome to worship here at the Waverly Church of Christ this Sunday morning. I pray that you and yours are all doing well this morning, that God's blessings are upon you. You know, every second Sunday in May is Mother's Day on our calendars here in this country. And it is a day when phone calls exceed almost any other day of the year. And not only that, cards go out expressing love and appreciation to mothers the world over for all that they've done in our lives. Our mothers are very important. As a matter of fact, none of us would be here without them. Most important of all in this is that our mothers are a gift from God. The scriptures are full of important women who served as mothers of God's people. We began in scripture with Eve, whose name meant life or living, and she was called the mother of the living. We also encounter a mother by the name of Sarah, but originally her name was Sarai. God changed her name to Sarah, a name that means princess, and then called her, there in Matthew 17, verse 16, the mother of all nations, or of the nations. Rebekah became the mother of the son of Isaac, who would become the father of Israel. And then there's Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, who was the last of the judges and a great prophet of God. And of course, you know Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then there are a host of unknown mothers throughout Scripture who gave to us, because of their faithfulness to God, children who grew up to be faithful in their service before God. Today, many of us will honor our mothers through a phone call, a card, a gift, something that says to them how much we appreciate them and how much they mean to us and the love that we have for them. However, there are some things today that I'd like to share with you in our lesson. Gifts that I would like for us to think about giving to our mothers, which mean more perhaps than any physical gift we might ever give. And these are gifts that I believe if we will bestow them on our mothers, we will give to them great honor and also in the process glorify God. So let's look at some of those and think about them together. The first thing I would like for you to think about in giving to your mother is this: humble obedience. In Ephesians chapter 6, there in verse 1, Paul made this simple statement. He said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It is right for us who have parents to be obedient to them, and especially to our mothers. And it's the right thing to do in this world. Solomon counseled his son there in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "Do not forsake your mother's teaching." And we have a prime example of someone who had listened to their mother and humbly followed his mother. It's none other than Jesus in Luke chapter 2. After his parents had sought for him there in Jerusalem, having lost him, if you will, and gone back to look for him, finding him in the temple, speaking with the chief priest, we find that he left Jerusalem and went back with them. As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says this, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart." So he submitted to his mother as well as his father, went back to Nazareth, and grew up in their home. Of course, there will come a time when each of us will, as Scripture says, leave our father and mother and join ourselves, if we're husbands, to our wives, and we will become one flesh. And at that point, we have started our own homes, and Lord willing, we will have our own children. And so we are no longer under our mother's tutelage in the sense that we are in her home. But even with that being said, we can go back to the words of King Lemuel's mother to her son that we find in Proverbs 31 about the virtuous woman. And one of the things that we know is true about our mothers is that the words of wisdom are still on her tongue. And not only that, as he puts there, the teaching of kindness is also upon her tongue. We will listen to that and take her advice and follow her. But humble obedience is what we owe to our mothers. Another thing that I think we should give to our mothers, not just today, but every day, is also true respect. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6 there in verse 2, the next thing that Paul says in that passage is this: honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. We are taught to honor our fathers and our mothers. And he tells us that this is a commandment that carries a promise with it. The promise is this: that we may live long upon the earth, that things may go well with us. And so I would encourage you to show that type of respect to your moms and listen to them. But there's another side to that coin, something that we find being taught in the wisdom of the Proverbs about the son or the daughter who does not honor their mother. In Proverbs 19, verse 26, we find these words: he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. And then later in Proverbs 28, verse 24, we find these words: he who robs his father or his mother and says, it is not a transgression, is the companion of a man who destroys. And then there is a warning in the Proverbs of the consequences of those who curse their parents. There in Proverbs 20 and verse 20, we are told that he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. In God's eyes, the cursing of our parents is tantamount to our rejecting their authority, which was a capital crime under Old Testament law. There in Ephesians chapter 21, verse 17, the law that God stipulated is this: he who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. There's an old Chinese proverb which says, respect for one's parents is the highest duty of civil life. Common decency demands that we show honor and respect to our parents and to our mothers. I want to encourage all of us to set the bar high by being people in today's world who give to our mothers the honor and the respect that God would have them give to them. So we give to our mothers our humble obedience, our true respect, but let me add to that another thing that should be a part of our lives that we give to them, and that is our loving affection. Elisha demonstrates this as he is called by the prophet Elijah to come and become his replacement. Elisha goes and puts his mantle upon him as he's out in the field plowing behind the oxen. And what we read there in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 20, that Elisha leaves the oxen and runs after Elijah and says to him, please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. He wanted to go back and show that affection to them and to show them his appreciation for them. And why not? Isn't affection that which we often seek from our mothers? Let me ask you, who was it that you ran to when you were a child and you skinned a knee or an elbow? Wasn't it your mother? And who was it that always seemed to give the best hugs at home? Typically, it was our mothers. And so our mothers are deserving of our affection. We can give our affection in words, things like, I love you, Mom, or something of that nature. We can give our affection with our hugs, with our gifts, with a host of other things, but giving affection to our mothers, we give our mothers a host of gifts. Some of those gifts cost money, but there's one gift that we can give to them: loving affection. And that gift speaks volumes to our mothers of our true appreciation for them. So I want to encourage you again, as you live out your life here upon this earth, as long as your mother lives, demonstrate that loving affection toward her. Another that I might add is righteous character. When we strive to live a righteous life, we bring joy and gladness to our mothers. Here's the way our text that was read for us just a moment ago puts it in Proverbs 23, there in verses 24 and 25. What we find the wisdom sharing with us there is this: The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. You know, more important than any achievement that we may reach in life is the fact that we are living righteous lives. And there is nothing that makes a mother prouder of us than to know that she has a good, a righteous son or daughter, someone that is striving to live according to God's will. Yet on the other hand, there is nothing that can hurt a mother more deeply than a child whose character is anything but righteous. There again in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, Solomon writes these words. He says, "A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." We can bring grief to our mothers by living lives that are far from righteous. So let's all walk in those paths of righteousness which God seeks to guide us. And then when someone speaks of us to our mothers, she will be proud and she will be grateful and eager to acknowledge that we are her beloved children. The last thing that I would like to encourage you to give to your mother is your continuing care. Parents, especially our widowed mothers, deserve our care. In three different verses in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we find Paul the Apostle, as he writes to his young protege Timothy, sharing with him some commands about how we are to care, how Christians are to care for their families, specifically their mothers. There in 1 Timothy 5 verse 4, he says this. He said, "If any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God." And then in verse 8, he adds, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And then finally, in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 5, he would add one more thing. "If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened so that it may assist those who are widows indeed." You see, before there was ever such a thing as Social Security, prior to 1935, there was no support from the federal government for our families. Families took care of family members. And children cared for their parents as they reached old age. As Paul wrote to Timothy so long ago, we should still see to our parents' well-being in their twilight years. There may come a time when they may need professional care far beyond what we can provide, but even at that time, we should still be active in their lives. Some of you may be familiar with a story that came out on national news just a little over a month ago, back at the end of March, 1st of April. A man named Charlie Adams had been in the habit of going to see his 80-year-old mother and taking her out every Thursday for either lunch or dinner. But yet, with the ongoing coronavirus epidemic, he suddenly found that he was no longer able to visit her, even in person. You see, his mother, Julie, lived on the third floor of an assisted living facility there in Ohio. And that facility, like ours here in our community, had restricted visitation in person. And so Charlie took matters into his own hands. You see, Charlie owns a tree preservation company. And with that, he has a bucket truck. Well, Charlie took his bucket truck to that assisted living. He got in the bucket and he lifted himself up to the third floor window, which was his mother's window. He then called her on his cell phone. And when she answered the phone, he said, "I'm right outside your window." Needless to say, it lifted her spirits. You see, Charlie is a man who cares for his mom. Let's all show our mothers that we care for them, not just today or tomorrow, but throughout the rest of their lives. Let's demonstrate that loving concern that God's people should show to one another. If your mom is still living, let me encourage you. Give to her some very precious gifts. Give to her your humble obedience, your true respect. Give to her your loving affection, a life of righteous character, and most of all, your caring concern and continued care. If your mother has gone on to her reward, then thank God for the privilege of having had her in your life as long as you did, and honor her memory by living your life in a way that glorifies God. Many mothers are praying today for a son or a daughter who has yet to render obedience to Christ. If that is you, if you have yet to do so, know that there is a mother praying for you. She loves you with all of her heart. She wants to know that you will render faithful obedience to God at some point, and that together you will be able to dwell in God's presence forevermore. If you have not yet rendered that obedience, please, won't you do so today? Be willing to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and confess that belief. Turn from your sin in repentance and be buried with Christ in baptism. Let Him wash away your sins. And then you and your mother are not only a physical family, but you're a spiritual family of God. And together, you can move forward toward that day of eternal bliss when you shall stand with all of the redeemed in God's presence. Thank you for being with us today, and may God bless you and your family.